Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
What's up?
Happy Halloween.
Yeah, same to you.
How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
I see you got your Chucky shirt on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I wore my Chucky shirt. I think I wore it once already this month, but...
Well, I watched one scary movie this year.
What was it?
Me and Chacho, because you ain't watching him.
Yeah.
He was somewhere, and so we watched A Quiet Place.
Oh, I thought you didn't like that.
I don't, but I thought maybe it's not so scary that, you know, he'll be all right with it.
That sort of thing. Okay. Yeah. And you know it's not got, like, graphic sex scenes or any of that stuff, which...
No. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, I assume that's still something that parents don't want to watch with their kids, you know. It's pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Did he like it?
Yeah, he thought it was pretty good.
Okay.
And I didn't bring up to him my complaints about it, so...
Okay. But... He did not. He also wasn't like, "Where's part two and part three? I want to watch them right now." It wasn't. Like
I don't
that.
Think he knew that there were any.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Well, he did. Yes, he did. Because I think the reason why we picked it was the one I knew it wasn't that scary, and two, he had seen like the preview for the new one,
the newest one,
and he was like,
Paramount.
"Oh, we should watch that."
Okay.
And I was like, "All right, well, let's just start at the first one so you can understand how stupid it is."
I watched that new one, but boy, I don't remember it very well. I can't remember if it was a prequel.
Oh, I did watch Hubie Halloween too.
Oh, yeah, you said that, but that, yeah. I mean, that's not a scary movie. That's a Halloween
three of us,
movie.
Though.
Yeah.
But three of us, that, you know, it's, we make sure we do that.
Like if somebody watches Hocus Pocus or whatever, that's Halloween.
You know, every holiday, me and the boys have a movie we watch.
Yeah. And Hubie Halloween
yeah.
has become the one.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading...
Four Brothers for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I was reading something about Hubie Halloween the other day, where people were talking about how it's just the water boy. It's just water. Dude, it's a good...
Yeah.
Halloween movie.
I mean, it's
movie.
Kind of the Waterboy character, a little bit.
Just
but not,
a little Nicky kind of. They're, you know, it's what? Okay, he's doing the a bit of a voice, whatever.
I know what you're trying to look at me. Looking for the Godfather?
Exactly. It's a cute movie, as my mom would say, and it's also got junior high humor mixed in, which is
it's perfect.
Perfect. I mean, it's Adam Sandler doing what Adam Sandler does.
His mom's got the shirt that says Boner Donor.
Right. It's got that perfect example.
Love it.
It's good. I like that movie. Yeah, well, I guess that's it. I don't know if I'll have time. Oh, we watched something about serial killers, and now I can't remember the name of it. It's a new movie that's got really good reviews, and I think Pancho had told me about it, but I don't recall the name now. But anyhow, that's it. You know, here we are, and now it's time for trick-or-treaters and all that, and for people to bitch about how old kids are supposed to be. I saw something about these towns that were trying to pass ordinances. I was like, you don't need an ordinance, because... They will stop trick-or-treating naturally when they're a little too old. Almost all of them. Not all of them, but most of them. Some of them may have to take their little siblings trick-or-treating or whatever.
Of course.
But when you're 13, somewhere around that age, you don't want to go.
If a 13, 14, 15-year-old, 16-year-old shows up to your house and says trick or treat. Of all the things that you complain about teenagers for, doing this seems like a really good idea.
Right.
So just give them some candy.
Yeah.
Why do you got to be a dick about everything? You're a dick that they don't go out at all and they only play on their phones and their Xboxes.
Yeah.
Right? You're a dick that they get into trouble. All this stuff you're a dick to kids about.
Yep.
And then there's one time where they're like, trick or treat, and you're like, you're going to be a dick to them about that, too?
Right.
Like, just
get off my lawn.
Right.
The
you're
hell?
Too old to be just shut
They can't
in.
Win. Yeah. Just an ordinance.
I think we should
so
normalize
stupid.
Adults doing it.
Why not?
I think it'd be fun.
Well, it would be. And
I don't know that I would do it, but I think it'd be cool if adults got
but
dressed
But you know
up.
People who would like to do
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And Halloween's become so popular.
And of all the things, like, and I'm not that guy. I mean, I'm a guy who hates pizza parties and all that stuff. But of
right,
all
me
the
too.
Things... That we should get mad at people about, like, why? I don't even understand why you would get mad.
Because you don't have to participate either.
No, turn off your lights.
If that's it. And then people won't come knock on your door. It's really that simple. I mean, if someone's vandalizing your house, okay, then you can complain about that. Mm-hmm. But you can complain about that any time of year. So have it, this idea that, like, a police officer would ask a kid, how old are you?
Yeah, ridiculous.
And what, are they supposed to start carrying IDs with them to prove that they're under a certain age? This is so insane.
Just give them candy.
At 13, I think it was 13... I remember all my friends just being done that same year. Like, we're not going to do it. We're going to go do stuff. We're going to go have fun, but we're going to mess with people or whatever. We're going to try and scare people. We made a dummy that we threw in the street, stuff like that. But we're not going to go trick-or-treating. And I felt like that was around the same age that my brother had stopped trick-or-treating. It was right around 13.
I want to say I still did it in the eighth grade.
That could be.
And I think once I got to high school, it was like, oh, there's a party or whatever. Like,
yeah.
And you're also then around 17-year-olds. Like, you're
right.
In the same thing. So then they're like, yeah,
we don't trick or treat.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
But in the eighth grade, it's still like 6th, 7th, and 8th.
They're young.
They're like, okay, yeah, I'm still young. I'm good.
That might have been when it was. Maybe 13 was the last year.
Right.
I don't know. But, yeah, it would be somewhere right around there. It's just so stupid. The whole thing is so stupid. And like you said, you're worried about kids not getting out of the house. They want to get out of the house. And they're excited about it. They're putting on costumes and
stuff.
And
they're doing something as innocent as possible.
How about the people who say, where's your costume? Well, yeah. I heard my mother say, where's your costume? Well, you don't have a costume on.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
Why would I give you anything? And it's like, Mom, please, let's not make this into a big thing. What you don't want is for this kid to come back and start throwing eggs at your house. Just give him the miniature Twix or whatever.
Also, well, you know, not to disrespect your mom because I love her. But you don't know the backstory on that.
Exactly.
I don't know why he doesn't have a costume. Maybe his mom wouldn't buy him one.
Maybe it's a bad day.
Maybe his mom forgot.
Yeah.
Maybe he put on the costume and it didn't fit. He didn't like it. His friends made fun of him.
Doesn't have money
maybe
for it.
Maybe he's just trying to get through the goddamn day.
Yep.
Right?
And somebody said, you can still come, man. Just come. It's okay that you don't have a costume. And he could be really self-conscious about
right,
that.
Right, exactly.
And he really wanted a costume.
And then you got to ask him.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Or don't ask. Just give them. Whatever they wear is fine.
Yes. Just give them the candy. You doing the pop thing this year again?
I did.
What?
Although,
what kind
full of cans this time.
Oh, not the miniature cans?
I always buy the miniature cans. The world is so upside down.
They're so
down.
Expensive now.
But, right. But then I went to a grocery store, and honest to God, man, it was $8 for the 12 mini cans.
They're more expensive.
And the full cans were on sale for $4.99. I was like, all right, well, I don't even understand.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense.
I bought like 12 packs.
Wow.
When we're out, we're out.
There you go.
That's it.
What kind? Is it all the same?
I always try to buy like stuff you don't usually get.
Like Shasta type stuff? Or like lemonade?
No, I got like strawberry, orange, and grape crush.
Oh, okay. That
kind
of stuff.
You know what I mean? More candy type stuff,
yeah.
I guess, in my mind.
Yeah.
And your parents aren't going to buy you strawberry crush, bro.
Probably not a 12-pack
right?
of that
so
your
I
house.
Can, you know, so it's like, you take one, try it, whatever.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
It's a pretty good one. I got Fun Dips because when I was a kid, I liked Fun Dips. But Brooke's like, "Who kids want chocolate?" And I'm like, I liked Fun Dips. And she's like,
too.
I don't think a lot of kids did. I'm like, that's what I got from the ice cream man was Fun
Dips.
Like,
Fun Dips.
Well, at least we have something to hand out, but I'm not thrilled
so
about it.
So I'll put
it.
The pop out there.
But that's what you do. You just set it out.
Yeah, I said
you don't
it
go
there.
To the door each time.
No.
Yeah. I got.
I set it out in a line. I make it look nice. You know, all the certain types of pop in a row.
Yeah.
And just go up and grab it.
And that's that. Stick a camera on them in case they try.
We got the Ring
changes.
Camera on it anyway.
Yep.
You know, maybe I think that should be enough, but I don't know.
We'll be fine. I'm going to dress my dogs up.
Maybe I'll stop and buy three more on my way home.
You should be fine. How many trick-or-treaters do you actually get?
It depends. So we used to not get many, but now, like last year, I got a lot.
Me too. I've had years where it's like very few, and then I've had years where it seems like they keep ringing the doorbell. I ran out of candy last year. What I don't want to do is run out of candy. That will not be happening again this year. I bought more than enough.
98.9 The Rock, your home for the Church of Laszlo. The Church of Laszlo.
All right, tell us a story of you almost dying.
I don't know if I almost died, but...
Well, I mean, there was a shot.
I suppose it's possible. There's a bank right by my house. It's the bank that I use. And so I go there to use their ATM once in a while. And I had no real reason for the cash except that I had given you some cash. I don't know when. It was something that the boys needed cash for.
Yeah, some sort of baseball thing, and I never have cash. So I asked you.
Yeah.
And then I Venmo'd you the money. So this is partly my fault.
I suppose.
It is, because I don't like to go get cash. I don't have a PIN number for my card.
Neither does Brooke.
And so I texted you while I was in the lobby, and there was like 15 people in front of me and one person.
Yeah, on your way to work one day.
Yeah, so I said, did you have cash? Because I don't want to sit in this line any longer.
Yeah.
So that's why you needed to go get cash. So yeah. I do take responsibility.
I don't carry a ton of cash, but I will carry a little bit. Nowadays, it's become even less necessary.
Bucks, you know, but yeah. I didn't, you know, but I feel bad about it now.
Well, I just thought it's by my house. I'm coming home. I was getting ready to drive out to my mom's house. So surprised we didn't run into each other. But I stopped by the bank on my way out there. It hadn't started raining yet. It was really windy, but it was dark. And that ATM at that particular bank, I'm not always super on alert when I go to banks, go to ATMs, but that one I always have been. It's just a weird setup. You kind of got like a where you park your car. When you go to pull out of the ATM when you're done, you have to kind of maneuver around a post so that you don't hit it. There's a very narrow space there to get out. And then the worst part is that behind you at this ATM, it's just black asphalt, and there's like nothing back there except a couple trees, a partial fence. There's nothing there. There's no lights over there, and there never has been. So anytime I pull in to go to this ATM as I drive behind this bank, I always keep kind of an eye out to see if anyone's sitting over there and hanging out. And this is extra paranoid, but anytime I'm at that ATM at night, if one car pulls up behind me, no big deal. But if a second car pulls up, I'll usually say, I'm getting out of here. Just on the off chance that someone's going to pull up and right. But I know that's ridiculous. And it's only really at this one ATM. It's just, it's not set up well. So I've always had this, what if someone runs up and tries to grab cash out of my hands? And because I've thought of that, every time I pull into this ATM, I get my car as close to the ATM as possible, like almost scraping paint. So there's no room there really for anyone to try and squeeze in. But I also, as soon as I pull up the ATM, I always check my rearview mirrors, side view mirrors, make sure nobody's behind me. There wasn't anybody when I got there. Put the card in, I start going through the whole process.
What was that last part? There was what?
There was nobody there.
There was nobody there
when I pulled up. So I put my car in park, and I put my card in, and I'm doing the whole process. And at some point, I was waiting for the computer to load, and I checked my mirror again. And now there is an adult male on a bicycle, and he's got a hood up. And I'm thinking, this probably is the kind of thing that you've worried about in the past.
I don't think I would have even thought about it.
Well, in my neighborhood, there are quite a few people that appear to be temporarily unhoused, and a lot of them are on bicycles.
Okay.
And I see, because I'll see them take shelter at like a bus stop in the rain and things like that. And I'll see them riding around the neighborhoods. So that's kind of what's on my mind is like, is this person really here to get cash? I can't. It's dark back there, so I can't see all that well. I can see that it's a guy, tall, skinny, white guy, best I can tell. And I think, yeah, this isn't great. But I'm also, if I drive off right now, my card's in there, and I don't want him to be able to withdraw money because I am logged
in. Fair.
So I'm like, I should probably cancel this. So I go to cancel. Are you sure you want to cancel? Yes. And as I'm saying that, I'm also putting my car into drive. From park back into drive. And I look back up in the rearview mirror again, and now this guy has just wrapped some sort of a mask around his face.
No.
Covering his nose and mouth so that only he's got the hood on, just his eyes that are looking out. And I was like, okay, this guy, it's not raining. There's no COVID social distancing going on here outside. There's nobody else around. this is a bad situation. So I'm waiting for that car to get out, and it's, are you sure you want to cancel? Yes. And when I go to leave this parking lot, because of the way it's set up, it's like a hill that drops straight down on this little parking lot, and there's that post I mentioned. You okay. have to narrowly sort of drive through. So if I just put the car in drive and hit the gas, I would, one, hit that post,
and
two, I'd rip my bumper off coming down this, yeah, coming down the slope in the parking lot. So I'm grabbing my card out of the machine.
Slim Best drives a Ferrari, by the way, that's why.
Yeah, I got to be careful. And so I'm grabbing my card, and I check again the mirrors, and he's now moved up on me. Mm. And he's now at the back of the car, and he's holding on to the back of my car right behind the rear driver's side window, which there's not a lot of room there if he wanted to try and pull up, because as I mentioned earlier, I keep the car very close right. to the ATM. But I can tell he's, you know, trying to get into that space. I'm guessing he thought that I was getting cash instead of just getting my card back. Because that machine, when you go to get cash, it's always it makes a bunch of noise for a good 5-10 seconds before okay. it spits out cash. And it does that, too, just to give you your card back. So if this guy had done this before or watched this machine, he probably would know that sound.
Okay.
It, you know, he sure. might
well,
be able to see the screen, but
too.
Yeah, that kind of...
I know when it starts
so
to spit it out.
He's probably thinking, or he could also have seen when I put it in drive, as my car cycled through the gears, that my reverse lights hit, and he knows my car's about to move. So that it could have been as simple as that. But he rolls up onto the car, grabs the back pillar there. The rear window is up, so there's not a whole lot for him to grab onto. But I am pulling away from this ATM. So as I'm pulling away, it gives him some space to get his bicycle up closer, because I got to go slow. Again, the hill and the pole over here.
Right up on you.
So he pulls up, and he grabs a hold of my B pillar right behind
me. Hand in your car?
Well, he grabs the B pillar behind my
What's
on
the
driver's side window, like the part of the
on
car
the
that separates
of the car?
Yeah, that separates the front driver's window and the rear driver's window. He'd had his hand on the back there, and now he's got his hand on that pillar. If my window had still been down far enough, he would have been able to get his hand sort of wrapped inside the window. But I'd already started rolling up the window, and where he grabbed the car, I think the window was up far enough that he couldn't get his hand in there. He was hoping to get a hold of that pillar and then really be able to pull himself up there. I don't know what at that point. I mean, I'm driving away now. I don't know what his goal is then, unless he... Man, maybe he did have a weapon, because why else would you... If I'm already driving off, how are you going to stop me just by sticking your hands in the car and saying, hey, give me money, if my car's already moving? Maybe he had a knife or something. I don't know. Because it seems weird that as I'm starting to pull away, he's grabbing the car. But I still, I come down a little ramp slowly, you know, as quickly as I can without destroying my car, and I start to drive off. He loses grip on the car, and then he decides to just scream at me an obscenity.
What did he say?
He called me an effing, and then...
just saying.
He called me an effing queer.
Oh, when you drove away?
Yes. After he lost grip of the car.
Right, because he was like, hey, be a man about it. Let's fight about this.
What? No, it made no sense. You were trying to rob me, and I drove off.
Right, and he's like, you should have stopped and fought me for it.
Is that what that's about?
I think so. I challenged you to a duel for that money.
Unless he's just saying it to himself, like, Garv! But no, he was shouting. I mean, he screamed it at me. And you could hear him. He was still close enough to the car.
Well, his car's not to see you, so he knew.
Okay. We're doing this 3 days in a row now?
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
He said it, not me.
Yeah.
What were you wearing?
Whatever I wore to work yesterday. I don't remember.
I didn't know if it... Oh, okay. Because sometimes you put on the full tracksuit thing.
That's on the weekends. Yeah, no.
I didn't know. Like, maybe you saw that.
No. But that's kind of crazy, right? I mean, he was trying to rob me.
Yeah. Did you think about going back?
To find him?
Yeah.
It's funny you say that, because I was telling my friend about it, and he's like, you know, in that moment, you just got to get away. The number one goal is to get away. You know, you don't want to have to shoot anybody or hurt. Nobody can hurt. You just get out of there with your money and everybody's help.
What's like about when you get because halfway then, home, you're like, you know what?
That's what he said.
F this guy.
Then you start to get angry and you want to go back.
I'm going to run him over. Fight him, whatever.
As I was coming back from my mom's house a couple hours later, getting back into my neighborhood, I saw a guy. It was raining now, and I saw a guy at a bus stop with his bicycle. And I looked over at him and I thought, is that him? You know, that sort of thing. I don't know. Because it's like, was it? He had his hood up.
In your mind if people didn't listen yesterday.
Yeah. Well, he also had a hood up and he'd been covering his face. But he's got this bike.
Bike or anything.
Yeah, it wouldn't have mattered. Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not making fun, but you
I wouldn't remember what the bike was.
Like, you couldn't look back on it and be like, oh, that's the same color kind of right. everything.
No. And it was so dark.
Sweatshirt or whatever.
The only, all I can really see is because of the reflection of my brake lights or my, you know, headlights for rear lights. That's the only light being shined on him because it's pitch black in the back right. of that parking lot. So it wouldn't have been easy to see him anyway.
Right.
But yeah, now I do think I have that thing where, and so this guy that I saw last night as I pulled up at the stoplight, I thought, he looked at me and I thought, he would know. He would recognize my car. He would recognize me.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't wearing a mask. He saw. He got a good look at my car. He just stared at me. But I thought, is it because I'm kind of staring at him? Like, what if this is a guy? So now I guess I live in that world where every time I see a guy on a bike, I'm going to think, are you the guy who tried to rob me?
And he's going to think what?
He's not going to think anything. I don't know. Maybe he thought last night that's the guy I tried to rob. But you're talking about wanting to, you know,
get angry and run somebody over. But you're saying no. You don't think he's going to follow you
No. Just that feeling of like you kind of do wish that you could get revenge. More so if he'd actually stolen something, but he didn't. So,
right.
Whatever.
Did you call the police?
No. I live in Kansas City. Mo. If I called the police and nothing happened, I think she would have been really confused. She might have told me to like go to the bank tomorrow.
Did you call the bank?
I did think about telling him, you need some lights back there. You need some lights,
them.
You need some cameras. Yeah.
Take away some of these fees.
No kidding, right? You guys have plenty of money. You can stick some lights up
with some of
there.
My fees, how about you put a light up there?
No kidding.
Time to pass the collection plate.
Give with a joyful heart, and you will be blessed.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know, could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Groupies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo! All right.
The news, my man.
The news.
People getting attacked on it. Crazy people on airplanes. That's well, part of why you feel so claustrophobic. It's not just that you don't have room to move. It's that you've seen hundreds of videos of people acting and saying you may have even witnessed it yourself. And
you may have even done it yourself.
You may have even done it yourself at some point. You know, if you're a nervous flyer, you have a few too many. I get it. It happens. The problem is they can't just remove you unless you're on the ground when you're 30,000 feet in the air.
Plus, you get in trouble for whatever reason.
I know. It's weird. They
you
like,
can get drunk at a bar, not do anything, and they just,
go
make
home.
You leave.
Yeah. Get out of
you're
here.
Doing it on a plane, it's a whole big deal.
They're waiting for
right,
you.
Yeah, you got servers up here with booze.
Yeah.
Just a bar in the sky.
And why are the flight attendants the ones responsible for holding these people down and taping them up with duct tape? Like, that's the best you got? Some zip ties? Mm-hmm. What, just put an air marshal on a flight. They really can't afford the one extra seat.
I think they usually have. Sometimes they have them. Is that
I've heard that they sometimes have them, yeah, depending on how long the flight is. It's like, well, mm-hmm. I don't think the... The bad guy. I understand if you're worried that it's terrorism, whatever, maybe it's more likely. But anyhow, I'd like to know what was going on here because this is a long flight from San Francisco, I think, to New York. It was a cross-country flight. If not, it was close to it. It was a United flight, and people are sleeping. You know, the lights are off, and a lot of people in the cabin are sleeping. And this guy gets up and goes to walk to the bathroom, and starts attacking a guy in his seat, like really attacking
Everett
him.
Nelson left his seat in row 35 to use the restroom. He then walked out, stopped at seat 12F, and without notice began physically attacking a sleeping male passenger.
Why?
I was woken up by the most
That's my guess.
Horrific screaming. He was just rapid fire pummeling very violently this man in the face. I was trying to talk to the victim. Then I realized that he was both deaf and nonverbal.
He was deaf and mute. Or I don't know if you're allowed to say it. She said nonverbal. But the victim was deaf and nonverbal.
Okay, I didn't know if the guy was.
No.
I got confused ever.
So then I just had, now I'm speculating, but if he was snoring, was the guy like, hey, be quiet.
Oh, right. You can't
hear him. Also, can't hear himself snoring, doesn't wake himself up. Maybe that's part of it. So I'm leaning towards snoring, aren't you?
Well, or just for no reason. I don't know.
Why else?
I mean,
there was no notice, they said. He was walking and then just without notice begins physically attacking this
guy. I mean, I was literally in prison and I snore.
Right.
And one of the guys who ran my little area came up one time while I was there and was like, yo, you got to stop.
Right.
He didn't attack me.
No, right.
And that's in a place where I thought I was going to be attacked.
If you're going to get attacked somewhere, you'd think that would be
the spot. I literally slept during the day and stayed up at night so I wouldn't wake these guys up.
The guy who was doing the punching was, they said he's 44 years old, and they said that he was pummeling this guy for 60 seconds before someone else was able to restrain him. It was another passenger that got up and restrained this guy. And, of course, the deaf guy, they said, was bloodied because this guy had just been punching him in the face. And once he starts getting hit, he wakes up and he starts screaming. And everyone on the plane hears these blood-curdling screams. And I thought, now that would freak me out. As a slightly nervous flyer, what the hell is wrong with this person, though? A lot of trouble.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You should get in a lot of trouble. You are not allowed, not just to not fly United anymore, you should not be allowed to fly
you can't
anymore.
Fly.
That's it. You lost your privileges. It's one thing if you get drunk and make a bit of a fool of yourself, whatever. You know, if you don't hurt anyone, if you attack someone, unless you're Mike Tyson and the guy deserved it, then you should be done. You shouldn't be allowed to fly anymore. Elon Musk.
We don't know what happened to him? Or?
Well, they arrested the guy, and that's all the details that we have now. That, I'd like to, so the passengers just talked about the screams and things.
Okay. I thought maybe we knew what he was charged with.
Really curious if this guy was snoring, and that's what it was. I'll let you know if I see an update. There's a court hearing today. A judge is supposed to decide whether or not Elon... I think one judge, DA, something like that, said, hey, Elon needs to stop giving out money because he's essentially paying people to vote with this whole $1 million a day.
Yeah,
people
sign
a petition.
That,
can't do that. So someone tried to stop him. Now another judge has to listen to the evidence and decide whether or not it should stop him.
That's what I'm thinking. Tied to the election is playing out in Philadelphia today. A judge set to address a bid by the city's district attorney to stop Elon Musk and his America PAC from continuing to award $1 million prizes to registered voters in battleground states.
For how much for me to get you to vote for someone that you really don't want to vote for? Say there's someone you really hate on the ballot. How much do I have to pay you to vote for that person?
Not much.
It's not much. I mean, it's a vote.
Not much. I mean,
it's just, it's not much. No one would offer
it. Especially where I live, well, we know what's going to happen. Yep. So I don't want to say your vote doesn't count, but for that amount of money, for, you know, a significant amount of money, I take my voting rights seriously.
Yeah, but your voting rights.
Not millions.
No, 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 but like... $50?
No.
Oh.
No,
someone just offers you a 50 and say vote for the wrong people?
No.
No.
No way. Now I may take the 50 and vote whatever I want anyway.
Oh. Yeah. I'm not saying your vote doesn't count, and I always vote, but...
I don't think I need to, have any proof, I guess, if they wanted me to take a picture.
Yeah, there'd have to be some sort of proof. Yeah, they'd have to know that
you did. No, more than 50 for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like $50 is pretty hard to turn down. Really? Thousands? Yeah. A few $100 still wouldn't be enough.
I'm not going to sell it for $500.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, we're starting to get close at $500.
Yeah. And I know that's not what was happening here. This is a little different, but...
You had to sign up for something, right?
Yeah, you signed a petition, and...
And then your name got put on it?
Yeah, we read it the other day, and now I don't remember what the hell
it
said.
But now...
So you don't actually pay them for the vote.
You pay them to sign
the petition, I think. And you had to be in a swing state.
Mostly people who would... I mean, I know there's people who just want to win the money.
Yeah.
So they would sign up, and hopefully they win. But I would just imagine most of your money is going to people who are going to vote for Trump anyway.
Maybe. Would you go...
Let's say I'm going to vote for Kamala, right?
Yeah.
Which we all know who I'm voting for.
Yeah.
Who am I voting for?
Well, last I heard, I believe it was the doctor.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So, but let's just say, because, you know, he's not going to care. But he gives me $1 million, I'm just going to go in there and vote for whoever I want. How's he going to know?
So would you sign... A petition that could help, or I guess even vote.
How's the petition help?
Would you vote? Let's say that you had to do it, like somehow they knew, even voting, which again, that's not what this is, but would you go sign something or vote away that you didn't want to for the chance at $1 million?
No.
Because that's what's really, if he's giving away $1 million a day.
I'd sign something I didn't want to.
You start to like it.
Something I didn't believe in, I don't care.
If
I'd sign that, but I wouldn't vote against it.
A million a day makes it sound pretty good. Okay, if they said, hey, we're giving away a PS5 a day, if you sign this petition to ban gambling or whatever, or ban abortion. PS5
wait,
a day?
How much?
They're giving me a PS5 every day. They're giving away one PS5.
That says Lazo should be killed.
For a
PS5 a day. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, like if they're giving something away.
I don't care about signing. Like if, you know, people walk around, they certainly, you know, with petitions, whatever. Can you sign this?
Oh, yeah.
Sure, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah, it would be enough to motivate me to maybe walk across the street and sign the petition.
Yeah.
That's how much. Like, yeah, we should walk over there.
But my vote would be different.
I gotcha. Yeah, you can't. Your vote's going to cost a little more. Well, I saw this trend on TikTok this year, and I thought, man.
All the amount of stuff I sign without
reading?
And not in any idea of ever doing exactly what it says, like paying my credit cards back on time.
Daily.
Signed a bunch of those.
Yep.
They're like, oh, you wouldn't sign it? I'm like, no, I did.
Yeah, but you know what? I broke my promise, okay? Yeah. I'm not some king from some royal family where we take our honor real seriously. Yeah. You offered me money, and I said, sure.
Right.
And that was that. And now I don't have it, so F off. There's a TikTok trend going on, and I thought, this is old, but they point out that it's not necessarily a new thing. But remember when I used to say that when I was going voting, I would pick one person that I knew was voting for the other candidate, and I'd say, I'm choosing this person just, you know, as some sort of ceremonial type thing that I'm going to go cancel out this person's vote.
Sure, you do
I know
that.
My brother's going to vote this way. I'll vote this way. I'm canceling out your vote. I can't cancel out everybody's vote, but I used
you
to
do
say
that even if you agree with them?
No, like if we disagree,
okay,
I would say, I know my brother's going to vote
I've canceled
one
it
way.
Out in idea, in theory.
Yeah, in theory. It's like, I'm going to.
I thought you're just like, you found out who your mom was voting for, and you're like, screw you, bitch, I'll vote the other way. I don't care what people think. I just don't want your vote to count.
No.
I'm like, well, that seems...
No, I used to say, like, just pick someone that you know disagrees with you, and just have that one person be the person that you say, you know what, I know I'm voting the opposite of this person, so that's whose vote I'm canceling out. And it doesn't mean anything. You're just saying it. But that became a big thing on TikTok
this year. There's a new trend, though, racking up views. Some young voters are posting videos joking about canceling out a partner or family member's vote by voting for the opposite candidate. It's one way they're trying to deal with what is otherwise a very tight and contentious presidential race.
My dad did not talk.
I don't understand.
That's it. That's all it is. Just like what I used to do, where you go.
Everyone does that.
They're going online and they're saying, I'm canceling out my wife's vote this year.
You know, I'm voting for this guy. I'll be like, yeah, well, I canceled you out. We're even.
Right. That's all they're doing. It's not new. And they're acting like, oh, this TikTok trend. They're just posting videos saying, I'm canceling my wife's vote.
But the idea is, you just found out who someone else voted and realized you were voting against them. The entire United States does that.
Yep.
Go on social media, like, I'm voting for Trump. I'm voting for Kamala.
Yeah.
They're canceling each other out. Like, it's not even...
Right.
Like, it's not even a thing.
Right. They're just saying, you know, I remember my dad bringing this up.
And we talk about it. 45% of the United States and 45% of the United States cancel out each other.
Yeah.
That's, like, big picture what we've been talking about for years.
Right. You're just dedicating your vote to someone you don't like, basically, or someone that you're mad at the way they vote. That's all you're doing.
Like,
I dedicate my vote to you. I'm canceling out your vote.
To me, it would be weird canceling if it was the theory that we used before, which I thought you were saying, which was, you know, I don't care about politics, and I don't care who wins, but I'm just going to vote opposite of my dad.
Oh, no, no, no.
That would be weird. But
I'm mad that my dad's voting different than me, and so I am going to cancel out.
You were
going to
vote that anyway.
Yeah, I'm just dedicating this to my dad. I cancel out your vote today.
There you go.
I remember my dad saying it when I was a kid. He didn't talk a lot of politics, but he and my mom did not always vote the same way. And when they didn't vote the same way, there was a year, it was when Dukakis lost, and there was some grumblings going on in the House, and I didn't know their political leanings at that point. And my mom said something about, oh, don't listen to your dad. He's just mad because Dukakis lost. And then my dad said, I'm mad that or he said, I don't even know why I voted. You just go and cancel my vote out.
Ooh.
And so, yeah. So I thought that's kind of where I got that idea of, like, you're canceling someone's vote out that
my
you
parents
choose.
Wouldn't tell me.
That's how it used to be. A lot of people didn't want to say.
I remember on the day that they would go vote, and honest to God, they would have the paper out.
Yeah.
And they would be reading. I'm like, what are you reading about? They're like, well, I'm reading about the judges and all the, like, they... And then I would
get informed.
Honest to God. Right now, granted, it was the morning before, but... They'd already kind of, I'm guessing, made up their decisions on president and senators or whatever.
Yeah.
And they would both be like, well, reading about the judges. We need to vote for the judges and these other amendments and stuff. And I was always like, all right.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, well, who are you voting for? And they'd be like, that's none of your business.
Yeah, that's what people used to
say. My mom would say it's none of your business. Until I got older, then they told me, you know, they voted for the Republicans. Or whatever,
I think it was more of a thing.
I had no idea. Until I was old enough to vote and we were, you know, talking politics,
yeah.
I had no idea that.
Yeah.
They were Republicans.
My dad didn't talk about much, but I also remember people, adults, saying, it's none of your business who you vote for. It's none of your business who I voted for. You don't hear that much anymore. It's like, here's the yard sign. Here's my Facebook post. Here's my bumper sticker. Not that those things didn't exist, but you used to hear a lot of people say, it's none of your business. Yeah. And I don't know that you really hear that much anymore.
My mom wrote in Bernie Sanders last time.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that?
There you go. Yeah. That's a little change.
My dad
for
rolling
her.
Over his
No kidding.
It does take some getting used to.
The Church of Laszlo.
Okay, everybody just calm down.
On 98.9 The Rock.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know. Could kill
the order of hornets.
Whoopies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it. So you sent me a text last night, and this was the first that I was made aware of this. We talked yesterday about the World Series, night before last, and that Yankees fan grabbing the ball out of Mookie Betts' glove. And we were kind of talking about that guy. I found out he is a season ticket holder.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you said he got a lifetime ban.
I heard
right?
that, yeah.
He definitely got ejected that night. And, you know, if you didn't see it, it was pretty funny. I mean, it was pretty egregious. They've got the guy's name now. His name's Austin Capobianco, something like that.
Oh, nice.
And he really is working as hard as pulling that glove. But I also heard that he had told someone that Mookie was cussing. It's like, well, yeah.
Of course.
Just imagine that he was cussing for sure.
Bass in the corner. Does he have room? Fights with the fan. And they're going to say that it's an out. And yeah, Betts has that ball in his glove, and this fan literally tries to take his glove off, pries the ball out of there. A for effort.
Well, he won't be watching the game much longer.
Mm-mm. He'll be out of here, which he was. So that was the night before last. So then, I guess yesterday, this news comes out that someone pretty famous
was friends with him.
Friends with this guy. Friends with the ball ripper, Austin.
And who could it be?
How about Gronk?
Of course.
Gronk was on a podcast, and video podcast, being interviewed, and they're talking about this, and I think he was watching it for the first time as they were showing it to him, and he's like, I know this guy. I know who he is.
This is actually the first time I'm seeing this live, and here's a little fun fact. That guy right there grabbing Mookie Betts' glove was my friend in college.
Gronk, stop it right now.
He was on the ice hockey team, the club, Arizona Wildcats team, ice hockey team. And let me tell you, the whole hockey team, they were absolute maniacs. They were indescribable just how wild.
Animals?
These guys, animals, yes. How wild these guys were. Him doing that represents him very well. I mean, he is all in for his teams. He is all in for the Yankees. I remember him talking about the Yankees all the time, how he loves them so much. And that describes him perfectly. Just doing whatever it takes to help his team out, but he's a beauty. He is a beauty.
Okay,
and I just want to say congratulations for shining when your moment came.
Okay, obviously most interesting thing there is that Gronk knows this guy. He's friends with them. Also, the Arizona Wildcats have a hockey team?
I think a lot of teams have club teams.
Really? I didn't know that. You just don't think
Kansas
of Arizona
team,
as like, do they? Okay. It's kind of, you know, I guess it's kind of like baseball in high school. There's a team there maybe or something, but you don't really know because you never heard about it. And does Phoenix have a hockey team? I don't know.
They did.
About
I remember
hockey.
They moved. They couldn't get any fans. They just, like, they're moving this year.
Oh, they're moving. Yeah. Okay. Were they one of the teams that people had talked about? One of the teams that people had talked about
coming
hoping,
to KC,
it was like them, and was it
Pittsburgh
Tampa?
At one point.
And then one of the southern states, right? Yeah, Pittsburgh, I remember that. That seemed ridiculous because they are fans. Yeah. But anyhow, Gronk knew the guy that was trying to grab the ball out of the glove, which is pretty funny. But then last night, the World Series came to an end. The Dodgers came from behind, and they won. They made it look fairly easy. They didn't sweep them, but it was close. Okay, I was rooting for the Dodgers. Not like, wasn't going to cry if they lost or anything. But yeah, I was rooting for them. You kind of were too, right?
Yeah, like, you know, I went into it not knowing who I'd be. I kind of like Juan Soto. I like him.
Okay, you watch it play out.
But I, you know, I was talking to the Euros. We were watching the game. I think the Yankees are about to, or the Dodgers are about to turn a double play in like the second inning of the first game. And I said, hey, did you want him to beat that out, or did you want him to get it? And he's like, I found myself wanting him to beat it out. What about you? And I was like, I wanted him to get it. And that's how I just knew I was rooting for
it. That's it.
Like, you can't control your, like, seeing a girl at the bar. Like, I think I love her.
That's probably better than trying to make a decision before. You're just watching it.
I was watching it. My body just did it on its own.
Yeah.
It's like, well, oh, get him.
Like, you know, I kind of like, as I was watching the playoffs, I didn't know much about the Yankees. And, you know, I mean, Aaron Judge and that stuff. But watching, and I know Kansas City fans got pissed at him, but Jazz Chisholm, I was like, I kind of like this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Right? He's funny. He talks a lot of trash. Yeah, and he's fun to watch. I could see myself rooting for this guy. Obviously, I wasn't, and I thought it was funny that fans were booing him every time he came up to the plate. But, yeah, I guess Major League Baseball got what they wanted. I'm very curious when this is all said and done. They don't just do TV ratings now. It's about how many impressions, right? All that. Yeah. So I would be curious also
what Aaron Judge error
ratings are. So the Aaron Judge error, if you didn't see, the ball is just lobbed straight.
It was like watching, I'm being honest, like a kid's game.
Well, remember in that Royals game where somebody dropped the ball? I don't remember who it was. And the sports guy that you don't like, Bob Costas.
Nick? Oh.
Bob Costas, he said, wow, he's usually pretty good. He's like, then he dropped something that looked like a throw you would toss your 10-year-old in the backyard. That's what this looked like. Judge just kind of casually strolls up and then just
closed his drops it.
Heating up Judge, who settles under this ball, but then drops it. Can Hernandez get to the bag before the throw? He does. On a routine play, Aaron Judge just flubs it in center field.
And this guy had already been having a bad postseason.
Oh, man. But he had redeemed himself a little bit with a home run. And man,
then you just
and then after that, there was a bad throw from the shortstop to the third baseman.
I didn't see that.
And then, the pitcher, Cole, strikes out two. He strikes out Otani and Betts.
Okay.
And so he's going to get out of it. And then, unbelievable, they hit the ball to the first baseman and the pitcher doesn't cover first.
Like he didn't think to, or?
Yeah. He just didn't do it.
Just didn't cross his mind?
Just didn't go.
That's bizarre. I thought that was like instinctual in those moments as a pitcher.
Right. Well, you practice it from day one in spring training. I think what happened, I honest to God think what happened from a, you know, not a Major League Baseball player, but a person who loves baseball, played baseball, has kids who played baseball, a baseball family, played it as long as I could. I think that play happened. He saw the ball go to first base, and he was like, thank God, I'm out of this.
Really?
And because I think he was upset at the bad throw. He was upset at Judge. He, you know, I'm throwing way too many pitches. Thank God I'm out of this. And then realized, oh, my God, I'm not out of it. I should have been covering. I think he was exasperated with people,
okay,
with himself, with the situation, that he just looked at it and was like, that he's got it.
Yeah. Well, I did hear Judge after the game. They asked him, you know, so what happened? I love when the reporters are asking, questions like this. You know, what happened with that ball? Was it coming at you? Where were you? And Judge is like, I just didn't catch it. That's all.
Were you scared about that line drive? Did it not go on here?
I just didn't make the play.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's obvious.
That's all you can really say.
By the way, you know, it happens.
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
Just because they make it look easy most of the time.
And every player's done it. Major league players do it. It was just at that moment.
Yep.
At that moment was brutal.
I did it in kickball a couple times.
Yeah, everybody has. I mean, I imagine you did it in kickball more than a couple times.
It was more than a couple times. So the point where
kickball's bouncy, man. You got to catch it with your hands.
I know. You grab it by your hands. You got to grab it with your hands, and then you can try and pull it.
Don't let it hit your chest. It hits your chest, it'll bounce off.
Yeah, you got to try.
A lot of kids make that mistake. They play flag football. Like, get that ball in here.
Yeah.
But then when they get older, that ball comes in. They try to catch it in here. Hits off those shoulder pads. You got to catch it before it gets to your chest.
Have you ever seen, I'm sure you've seen it, I see baseball clips on Instagram, like little videos, which I'm sure you do too. Have you ever seen Pete Rose talking about how the easiest place to hit a baseball is in the major leagues? That's easy. He goes, look, when you're a kid and you're growing up, you got to play against all these different pitchers. The ball's getting faster. Mm-hmm. You got to work on your swing. He goes, in the majors, you go up against the same pitchers all the time. He's like, you get a chance to know these guys. You know what their pitch looks like. And you got, you know, as best as you can, you're prepared for it. He goes, and then all you got to do is try and be successful 30% of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're successful 30% of the time, you're a Hall of Famer. And he goes, right. Of course, unless you're me. He goes, but you're a Hall of Famer. And he goes, what other sport can you be successful 30% of the time and
be considered a Hall of Famer? Hard.
Well, that's exactly what I'm thinking. Like, the reason you're a Hall of Famer at 30% is because it's so hard. I mean, if he's trying to say it's easy to
get to
30%, you know, get to 300, okay.
Easy for him, I guess.
Yeah, but I do think that was interesting just saying that you see the same pitchers. You go up against the same pitchers.
Well, I thought last night, not to get too deep into it, but when they brought in Walker Buehler to close it out, I thought it was a horrible idea.
Really?
It ended up working, but I was like, these guys just saw him.
Yeah.
You know, they saw him at least twice.
And that's a debate a lot
ago,
of times.
Yeah. You know, so... You know, not like you're sending him up basically for the third time around for a lot of these guys. They should know what he throws, what he pitches. I thought it was a really bad idea, but it worked out great for them. So there you go. I was wrong. But when they brought him in, I was like, he's about to get railed.
But let me ask you this. If Bobby Witt had an amazing postseason,
mm-hmm.
and yet the Royals still only got, or even just an amazing last couple weeks, but had a great postseason performance, still couldn't get the Royals through. Would there be any talk that he was the best player in baseball this year?
I think there's talk
after
about
Aaron
that
Judge's
already.
Postseason performance, really?
Yeah, I think there's talk about that already.
Okay.
I think at the end of the regular season. So the MVP's for the regular season.
I know, but I'm just,
but, you know,
would baseball
saying,
fans
I think,
be talking
yeah,
about who's better?
If Bobby Witt would have exploded, yeah, because Shohei had a really odd postseason. He had one of those where, like, with nobody in scoring position, he was like 1-for-15 or something. Mm-hmm. But with people in scoring position, he was like 7-for-8. So he, you know, you're like, okay, you did fine.
Yeah.
You didn't do great, but you seem to be pretty clutch and you help your team win. Good. If Bobby Witt would have exploded into the postseason, I think that there'd be more of that discussion right now.
Yeah, they really get paid for this.
You believe this shit?
The Church of Laszlo.
Amen, brother.
98.9, The Rock.
All right, what's going on?
Well, it's Halloween today.
Okay.
That's what's going on. A lot of people talking about Halloween. A lot of articles about, you know, the different facts about Halloween.
I live in a haunted house.
Yeah, you live in a haunted house, which I was hoping we could get to that here in a second, because one of the things people talked about is, you know, they poll people probably every year, ask them if they've ever lived in a haunted house, or actually if they've ever seen a ghost. And they poll. Halloween's getting bigger and bigger, it would appear, each year in the United States.
People love it. It's like soccer.
I guess so. Sure.
I don't know.
I don't know.
It just seems like that we hear that every year. Halloween's getting bigger and bigger. It's going to beat Christmas. It's like soccer is going to be more popular than football.
Yeah, they say that it's what's...
Just stick with it.
It's trending upwards for adults to say it's their favorite holiday quite a bit. So, more and more adults say they're getting dressed up each year. Mm-hmm. And also, I saw something that was somewhat interesting about the music, because obviously Christmas music is a huge deal. It makes record labels a lot of money. You just think about Mariah Carey being on the radio for 3 months or however long it is. And they actually are trying to push more Halloween music now, because Halloween music, anything Halloween music themed.
What is Halloween music? That's
what I'm saying. I mean, the only song I know is the Monster Mash song, right?
So rising from the grave, threatening to take a bite out of holiday music profits. Classics like 1962's Monster Mash quickly moving up Billboard's Hot 100 list. Last fall,
Hold on, Monster Mash is on the Billboard Hot 100? I guess if you're streaming it for something.
Themed album. And this year, Lady Gaga has dropped a new video called Disease, writing on X,
okay.
Happy Halloween!
In part thanks to TikTok and various movies, streaming shows that have come out, there's been this push to kind of create new classics. Halloween may not be as big as Christmas, but it's the same idea. It's become big business for the music business.
Big business, Laszlo, big business. Yeah. According to the National Retail Federation, we spend $11.6 billion on Halloween this year. $11.6 billion. Over half of the people that was in the poll I read said they decorate for Halloween. More than half. That seems like a lot. And most people will answer the door to trick-or-treaters.
Sure.
Of those people, I don't remember exactly what the number was. It was something like 98% or maybe it was 97% of people that answer the door to trick-or-treaters will give them candy. So that other 3%, I guess, is giving them toothbrushes and toothpaste.
Bibles.
Those people and Bibles.
Got the Bible guy.
Yeah, those little pamphlets.
Don't be the Bible guy.
Don't be that guy. They said like 40.
Look, I don't care if you're a big Bible person.
It's just not the time.
It's not the time or place. Like, you don't have to give them a Bible.
Right. It said almost 40% of people said that they worry about their reputation on Halloween, and that's why they either get candy in the first place or get what they get, because they want to have a good reputation.
Yeah, I want people to know, you know, I'm here for you.
Yep. And your favorite Halloween candy this year? I think it is every year.
Like, what would I get? What do I look
forward to? They say, well, America's favorite.
Oh. Because I really like Almond Joy.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. I don't like the...
You don't like it?
I mean, maybe as an adult, I would like it more. As a kid, my mom liked them, and I did not like
them. I like them.
But as an adult, I probably like Mounds.
I'm not a big coconut guy, either.
That's interesting, because it's...
But I think, you know, mixed with the chocolate, you know...
I do like
coconut.
Usually
they try to
sometimes.
Put, like, coconut in, like, curry or on shrimp. That, you know, so I don't like that. I don't like coconut shrimp.
Yeah, no, no.
But, you know, for whatever reason, in a candy bar,
yeah,
not bad. My favorite.
Sounds okay. I never see them anymore, so I'd have to...
I just got some the other day.
If I see one, I'll grab them. But
they're in a bag of other stuff. I think they put them in there because they're like, nobody likes them.
Right. There's got to be something in there you like less than the other stuff.
Which is great, because my kids eat all the other stuff, and they just leave the Almond Joy.
Yeah. No, Reese's peanut butter cups are people's favorites. I think it has been for a long time. It's like then Snickers.
It's probably my favorite too.
Then Kit Kats, and then M&M's, and then like a tie between Butterfinger Milky
Way. That's like one of them that you don't even say.
Right, because it just goes without saying.
Yeah, like, what's your favorite, you know, what's your favorite candy? Well,
it's kind of weird that there isn't a bigger Reese's competitor that just makes, you know, you got Butterfinger and you got Fifth Avenue. They're, like, identical.
I don't know all this stuff.
They're, like, identical. So why doesn't some company come along and say, we're going to make one that tastes exactly like Reese's or as close as we can, and
you know,
we'll try and just charge a little bit less, because Reese's are... Candy's expensive. A bag of candy at the grocery store was like, for just a,
it was $20, right?
One of them was like $30, and it wasn't massive. It was $29
and
change.
I saw it, I was like, man, am I just getting older?
Yeah, no.
Or, because for years I just didn't notice the price on stuff.
It's gotten
And I'm not making less money, but I'm like, $30?
Yeah.
For candy? Like, it doesn't feel like it was that much before. No. Like, I could buy three bags for that, I think, and just have more than enough.
Yes. Absolutely.
Right? I'm not wrong about this.
So I won't say the name of the place, but this week I went
Walgreens.
Out and I got Brooke and I two small ice creams, okay?
Oh.
Like, Blizzard-style type ice creams, right? They're not very big. They're this big. Two of them. One for me, one for her. It was $16.50.
Okay.
I'm serious.
Right.
And they're the little ones.
Right.
It's been going on for a couple years now, but I'm still shocked sometimes when I see... It all started when I told you about the toothpaste at Walgreens. It was like $9 a tube at Walgreens. I couldn't believe how expensive it was. And now it just feels like almost everything I look at, there is no break from it.
You're like, what is happening?
Right. Like, where's the dollar roll of paper towels, the cheap ones? No, there's crappy ones, but they're $4 for one roll or whatever. It's, everything's expensive. But... because it's Halloween, of course, the most fun
question.
That's
why I'm voting for Cornel West.
What is that?
That's why I'm voting for him.
Why?
Fix all
this. Oh, he's going to fix the inflation stuff. I got you. Sure. I got you. Well, ghosts. That's the big thing everybody cares about on Halloween, ghosts. And have you ever seen a ghost? Have you ever experienced something paranormal? Have you ever lived in a haunted house? Now, according to this new study, 24% of Americans, a quarter of Americans, claim they have personally seen a ghost before. 20% of men, it's actually 19% of men, and almost 30% of women. So women are quite a bit more likely to say that they've seen a ghost than men are, which I would have thought was the other way around.
Yeah, for sure.
Men lie, they boast, they brag, whatever. But women were much more likely to say they'd seen ghosts than men. Of that 24%, 10%
said...
Well,
they're a little hysterical.
That could be. Well, you know, yeah, maybe that's
hear noise. I swear I saw it, James.
Of that 24%, 10% said that the ghost was someone they knew.
Mm.
10% said they knew the person. Like, it was the ghost of my mamaw.
Cool.
It would be cool. That'd be a little scary.
I'd like to see my dad again. I wouldn't expect him to try to kill
me. Wouldn't you be worried about him, though? What if he looks... What if he's like, whoa.
Well, I don't know what it's like.
That would be scary.
Like, yeah, if he was like, hey.
Like, oh, no, is he trapped in some sort of purgatory? Or what's going on? He's stuck in this house?
I'd be like, man, he's trying to find me.
Well, I will just... Real quick, get out of the way. I had paranormal experiences when I was like 16, 17. My friends and I got really obsessed with the Ouija board one summer.
Oh, I thought you were talking about that girl.
No. That's not paranormal. That's not paranormal. So stuff happened that to this day I still can't explain.
Like
I understand
what?
There's probably a logical explanation, but a lot of stuff.
Tell me. Or will you tell me soon?
I can tell you.
I'd love to hear it.
One of the things was I had a friend who didn't believe this at all. He's like, this is stupid. Why are you guys doing this every night? Because I'd normally be hanging out with him, and I'd just been like, I disappeared for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And I said, we've been playing with this Ouija board, me and this buddy.
Right.
And he's like, that is so stupid. So I finally convinced him to come over one night. And I took the board to a classmate's house, a guy that I went to high school with, wasn't real good friends with. And right. There were people over at this house that I barely knew. Some of them I literally didn't know. I didn't know their names. So in order to prove that this thing worked, right. I had these people that I didn't really know go use this Ouija board. And they're like, oh, okay, got some girls on there. They're a little more open-minded. And there was a couple dudes. Had them sit down. And then I had my buddy, the skeptic, ask a question. I said, you can ask it a question and see what it says.
Okay.
So he asked, okay, what's my mom's name? Now, he doesn't really know these kids that are playing the Ouija board at all. What's my mom's name? Now, I know his mom's name. His mom's name is Beth.
Okay.
The board starts to spell and it goes M-E. And I was like, oh, no, it's getting this wrong. He's not going to believe it. Come to find out that his mom goes by her middle name.
Ooh.
And that the name that it gave was her actual first name, which, honest to God, I thought at this point, have they just turned the tables on me and they're trying to freak me out now? This can't be. This is like my best friend and I've known him for years now. I had to ask her later, like, is that really your name? Yes,
right.
It's really my name. So that's just an example, but then we got it to turn TVs on and off, lights on and off.
Oh, really?
Make noises in other rooms, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Wow.
We were obsessed. Got to
really
point one night,
happened?
I'm sitting at home one night, and my buddy, who I'd been doing this with a lot, we'd been friends since we were little kids, the Spiegel Catalog friend. And
so you guys were touching wieners.
Not at this point.
Right, and, but I mean, you use the Spiegel magazine as a sexy...
That was when we were six.
As a sexy Ouija board.
So he called me one night...
Okay, real quick, because he doesn't want to talk about it, but he got a Spiegel Catalog and... looked at naked ladies on it, and him and his buddy put their wieners on it.
Underwear
together.
Sections. Yeah.
Well, you were in the pantyhose section, he was in the underwear section.
We had to split them up, yes.
Yeah, and they put their wieners on them together.
Now, okay. So, anyhow.
That's true, right?
No, you're kids. So, anyhow, that guy, at this point, we're like 17, 18, something like that. Maybe even 19. I'm not sure. But he calls me one night and says, basically, I got to quit doing this. I can't sleep at night. And I was like, I can't either. This has gotten bad.
Okay.
So it was like we just decided that we were going to try and stop doing it. And the next day, we had this hard time not being able to quit. And so we're looking it up online, and we find out that's a thing. It's called board addiction. Not to mention, there's all this stuff about if you throw the board away, people say they've had their boards just reappear in closets.
Somebody
said
they just came back in the closet.
Yeah, they just show back up.
Kinda
so
like
we're worried
you.
About that. Yeah, yeah. So
somebody came out of the closet, went back in several times.
Anyhow, that
but
stuff
nothing
that
bad
happened,
ever happened.
That stuff that happened that year, it said something really mean to someone once.
What did it say?
A guy asked, it said something to the board, asked it a question, and it said something like Marlboros kill effers like your daddy. And this kid who wasn't on the board got upset because I guess his dad smoked Marlboros. And
oh, man.
No one who was playing should have known that, and that upset him. Wow. And that kind of stuff, you're like, ah.
My aunt had a story where her and my mom were playing it at one time. I'll have to ask her, but it was like, you know, I want to say it almost gave them a name.
Okay.
And said the side of the house.
Okay.
And my aunt went to the library or something and looked it up, and apparently some dude murdered his wife and buried her on the side of the house at this address.
Wow.
Yeah. With that, wow. Or maybe it was his name.
Yeah.
Or the address. One of them, it was years ago when she told me it, but was like, that freaked him out.
Well, that's why.
It was before you had the internet, so she had to go to the library and look it up, of course,
People will say the thing about Ouija boards. It's made by Parker Brothers. They came up with the name Ouija. Yes,
right.
They did. But these things existed before. They're called mystic oracles. I learned all of this that summer. So, now that I've shared mine,
I was in a. Well,
you want to tell me? No, you want to tell me your haunted house story?
Yeah, but a Ouija board story.
Okay.
I was a teenager, and we were playing with it, and a buddy of mine, and I always thought, well, they know the answers. They push it or whatever. But they got into it, and I was on it with a buddy. Tom, I didn't even tell him it was right. I was just like, it's wrong. I didn't tell anybody. But we said, who is it? And it said, BJ, which no one would have known because that's what my dad called my cousin,
who passed away
as a little kid.
Yeah.
And her name was Brooke.
Mm-hmm.
So even my buddy, if he'd even heard me talk about it, would have never heard that.
Like my friends.
Nobody ever really called her that. The reason why everybody knew it was because my dad built her a chair and had engraved BJ on the side of it.
Okay.
And her initials on either side. No one would have known that. Like, no one would have known that. And then it said it was two of them and Chuck, who was my mom's dad.
Wow.
And so we were doing it. He's like, these people? I'm like, no. You know them? He's like, no. And we did it, and it said, I was in high school, and I had failed everything. And was good, and all it just kept saying was, just try. Just try.
Oh, it was really? Well, because they say, it's never who it says
it is.
Right,
it was a demon, but this one was just saying, just try. Just try. Just try.
Interesting.
Yeah,
the
crazy,
way we would try and prove it to people is, okay, come over. If you're a skeptic, you sit on the couch over here and just think of a number.
Right.
You just think of a number, and then we'll ask the board.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yep. I mean,
there's got to be some sort of scientific explanation for it.
There has to be some sort of perception bias.
I think maybe I was moving it towards it without knowing,
And I think when it does work, you probably focus on that as opposed to, there must be something wrong. Why isn't it working?
Right.
So I'm sure by now, all those years that have passed, I've probably forgotten how many times it got the numbers wrong. I don't know. But yeah,
right.
It scared me enough that I was like, I'm never doing this again.
Have you ever done it since?
Not since.
We should do it together.
No, thanks.
Let's get one. There's got to be one in here somehow.
Hey, you said you're scared of the Exorcist?
Yeah.
Don't play with one.
Well, the devil won't come to my house.
They might. I'm just telling you. It's not worth opening that door. Let's talk about your haunted house thing here in a second. I want you to tell me about your haunted house.
Let's open the door.
You don't want to. That's your biggest fear.
Let my love open the door.
The Church of Laszlo.
The Church of Laszlo. On 98.9, The Rock. The Rock. The Rock.
All right, what's going on?
You're going to tell me your haunted house story?
Sure, I lived in one.
I hogged all of our time there with my Ouija board stories.
Well, it was impressive. It never moved the board, though.
Like, threw the board in the air?
Yeah.
No, but one time, we were really all starting to get kind of scared. We'd ask it to make noises, and it would, like, something in the house would make, like a furnace or something would start to make noises. And then it started to pretend like it was my friend's late father who died when he was really young. And, that was upsetting to him, obviously. And then something fell from, the ceiling, it seemed like. Something fell. We heard this kunk kunk, and everyone jumped up and screamed, and we actually ran up the stairs, got in our cars, and drove to like a Sonic parking lot or something. We were so freaked out. And when we came back, there was a little cross laying behind the couch. Now, someone had to have chucked that thing over there, or
somebody had it holding it while they were doing it because they were freaked out.
Yeah, or they just wanted to freak everybody out. But in the moment, when you're ready to believe, it's scary. It's like that our friend Michael Shermer that does Skeptic Magazine. I saw him do he's done experiments, so he'll show you these experiments where it's all about if you're in the right mindset. If you go ghost hunting and you're waiting to hear ghosts, then when you hear that furnace, it's a ghost. Normally, when you hear that furnace, it's a furnace. So Ouija board is no different. You're totally in this mindset now that anything that happens, it's a ghost. It's the devil.
Right.
You're waiting for it because you want it to be that, and so you're believing it. Yours is different, though, because you just lived in this house that was haunted and probably kind of annoying that it was haunted,
yes,
as I recall.
Yes.
Tell us about
it.
I will.
The Church of Laszlo. On 98.9 The Rock.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right.
Oh, wait. Hold on. I think I got some ghost music.
Well, it's not that scary.
Well, this is Ghostbusters. It's a comedy, right?
All right. I did. Years ago, I started a record label, and I lived. We're going to build, like, this studio with a house, or at least bedrooms that we could live in, so we could do it all at once, because it was way too expensive to try to do both.
Office slash
recording studio, and then me and my buddy would live there. And we found this place in the Cass Corridor in Detroit, and this guy said he was redoing this building, and he would let us stay there for free while he redid it, and then after that, we'd have to start paying rent.
Deal.
Done and done.
That's a future me problem. Paying rent later?
Sure. Done and done, and it's done to the point where, like, the whole back of it was ripped off, but I mean, it was walled off. You could live there, right?
Right.
I mean, it wasn't great, but, you know, there were holes in the walls and stuff that he had to redo. But you could live there, and it was fine. The problem was, it was the oldest funeral home in Detroit.
And did you know that before you moved in?
We knew it was a funeral home.
Okay.
And, like, when we moved in, there's a giant room where they, I guess, clean the bodies?
Yep.
Looked like a big medical room with tile on the floor, the ceiling, and everything. And then just, he had put a shower spigot on the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the shower. But that room had to be 20 by 30.
Okay.
It was massive. And that's where we showered. You just turn it on. It was like its own.
Wait, you used that shower? The one that they used to put. Oh, because like on the newer ones, maybe they didn't have this technology back then. You know, they pull those. You see in the movies, they pull those shower heads down, and they use them to hose off the body on the table.
I think he took that out and put a regular shower head in for us.
And that's where that thing would have been, that extending shower head. Okay.
So you would just turn it on, stand underneath. It was like this big sauna. But when we first moved in there, we had to take the gurney out of there.
It was still in there.
There was still a gurney in there. You could go up this set of stairs.
Were there meat lockers or whatever they call them?
Well, I don't know what that.
You know, like where they put the bodies in there and close the doors, those lockers? I don't know what they're actually called.
Not that I know
of. In the movies? Okay.
But there was like the foyer with the sconces,
mm-hmm,
where they would do the viewings.
Yeah, because it used to be, it was all done in one place.
Right,
some places still do.
My office.
Okay.
And then there was like a foyer area, and then behind that, like a kitchen area where I'm guessing maybe like back then they used to have like the reception on the other side too.
Okay.
So it was that big. There was a reception hall kind of there. That's why we loved it, because you could record live music in there. It was massive, all right?
Okay.
It had to be 15,000 square feet.
The whole place?
Yeah.
Not bad.
So then, but you went upstairs, and that's where it had bedrooms and a dining room and all this stuff, because I think the people lived there who owned it.
Yep, that was really common, too.
It was like their business. Mm-hmm. So we had these bedrooms upstairs. And then behind that, That's where we put the recording studio. And so when I first moved in there, my dad was moving to South Florida, and I was moving into this place. And one of the things we did, he helped me move in, like, the final bit of recording equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And we bring it in the front door, and literally, you know, we were kind of joking about it. You're going to go live in a funeral home. You believe in ghosts or whatever. And we hear, bam, 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 slamming doors. But there's nobody else there except for me.
A slamming door. Not like slamming, a thud.
No, like a, like it was a loud door slamming door.
Well, you okay, in that moment, you're positive someone's there.
No, I know. I'm like, God damn it. You because believe? I know there's nobody there.
But in that moment, my brain would go, who's doing that?
I know. There's
that's
no cars
so much
outside.
So much more likely that someone's here trying to freak me out.
My dad just looks at me. Well, we had been in and out.
Okay.
You know, moving stuff in and out. My dad just looks at me and goes, all right. Better you than me. See you later. And got in the car and left.
That's it.
Yeah. And so
that's a total dad thing.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. My dad told me one time when he saw one of my first apartments, he goes, don't ever let your mother see this place.
Yeah.
That was it. Not like I don't want you to live here. Just don't ever let your mother see this part of town where you're living.
Right.
Okay.
And, yeah. And then another thing. So my buddy that I moved in there with, he would hear all kinds of stuff. Now, at that point, I was teaching school, so I would get home later than him. You know, I don't know. He was just working there. That was it. And sometimes I'd come home, and he'd just be sitting on the couch, and you could tell he was terrified.
Like he'd been there by himself? And
just noises, screaming, crying, stuff that he would hear from upstairs.
Like human crying type
sounds.
Yes,
human screaming. But I was always like, dude, I don't hear it. Like,
did this guy do a lot of blow, anything like that?
No. But we ended up calling one of the ghost catcher people. Like,
yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah, that's that's
a paranormal. Right. A paranormal group from Jersey, apparently.
Okay.
And so we told them all about everything, and they said that if a ghost was there, that... and they were telling us this before we had really told them everything. But they were like, you know, one of the questions was, does one of you see it more than the other? And we're like, yeah, of course.
Oh, that would freak
And they're like,
out.
Okay, so what they wanted, what the ghost wants to do, the ghost feeds off our energy.
I've heard that.
And
movies.
That's how it stays alive, right? But what it does is also try to turn the people against each other. So it would show all, it would pick one person. To be like, we are going to F with this person, and we'll never be around this other person. So that I'd be the one to be like, dude, you have lost
your
mind. You're crazy. I'm here all the time. I've never heard anything. And I really didn't hear too much. Sometimes I heard walking or steps, but I was always just chalked up to like it's a crackhead from, you know, out back.
Someone wandered in.
Right, yeah. Sure. Well, there was this back of the park. Of the house that was torn down that you could get in and out of. Now, you couldn't get into our part of it, but
you could get
there's a back
the
end. Right.
Okay.
You could get in. And I'm like, just crackheads, out, you know, homeless people, whatever. Looking for a place to stay. It's downtown Detroit. It's in a really bad area to Detroit. And it's not, you know, but he'd be like, well, do crackheads cry like babies? Do they? I'm like, well, sometimes I think.
Sometimes they have babies.
Right. But so all of that happened. But the one thing that was big was that he had a girlfriend, and they came home one night. Well, anyway, I go out. I come back early. He's not home, right? He's out with his girlfriend. They're at the casino or something. I go to bed. I wake up the next morning, and I'm having coffee, and they're like, I just don't see how you do this. And I'm like, do what? And they're like, just, you know, how in the world could you watch scary movies in your bedroom when this place is just filled with ghosts? And I'm like, what scary movies? I really have no idea what they're talking about. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And they said they came home that night. Now, this is her, too. So
no, you got
it's two people, right? Came home, and all they could hear was, like, demonic, horrifying stuff coming out of my room.
Like sounds from The Exorcist.
Like sounds from The Exorcist. Like, rah, rah, speaking Latin, and I will kill you, rah, 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 all this stuff. And they were like, okay, don't go in there.
Apparently he lulls himself to sleep at night with scary movies.
Right, and they were freaked out that I would do it.
Yeah. we don't even really want these on in the house.
Right.
But
and so, whatever. But I don't want to hear them, right? Yeah. So they go in their room and close the door.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want to even hear those. So I was like, I didn't watch any scary movies last night.
Did you even have the TV on?
ESPN.
Wow.
And so I'm like, I haven't changed the channel. And so they went in. I'm like, I fall asleep to ESPN every night. I don't.
Did he decide to move? Was he like, I can't do this anymore at any point?
No.
He stuck with it.
Yeah. No, he was just like, all right.
But he didn't start to, you didn't feel like he was losing his grip on his sanity or anything
like
that?
Well, once we talked to the people and they said that it would show themselves to one more than the other, then he was like, well, unfortunately, I got picked to be the guy that they're going to show it to. So he just kind of dealt with it. And then paranormal people told us, like, even if the ghost appears, like, even if it's in front of you,
and you can actually
calling
see
your
it.
Name, don't pay attention to it. Because the less, the less you give it attention, the less you walk around the house looking for the noise and stuff, it'll just,
the less it'll try.
Yeah. And it'll just go away. So after a while, we just decided, like, I don't care. Like, even if they would say, like, even if you hear a noise and you guys are watching TV together,
yeah,
don't mention it to the other one.
Okay.
So honestly, oddly enough, whether that's psychological or not, even if we heard a noise, which I did hear noise, like walking and, like I said, the doors slamming and that kind of stuff, but never anything as bad as he did. Just enough to keep me on my toes, like, wow, that does sound like walking up. I mean, it's pacing up there. But we would never say anything to each other because it told us not to. We wouldn't even, like, you know, maybe like a sly look, like,
you learned that.
Okay, well, yeah, look at that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Man, judge made an error. That's crazy. Just like, you know what I mean? But, like, but yeah. So then, as we kept doing that, we just kind of stopped talking about it.
And it started to
slowly go away. But then I would say before it could go away or not, we ended up moving.
Okay. Like before it totally went away.
Yeah, for sure. It was still there.
That's interesting.
And my buddy went to the guy who owned the house, owned a bar in downtown Detroit. And he went to the bar. He would go there and stay with him. And he would go to the bar. And one time he went and he was like pretty petrified. And the guy was like, you all right? And he's like, I don't know, man. Do you know anything about what's going on in that house? And the guy's like, what do you know about that's going on in the house? And he's like, I don't know, man. Like on a seller's disclosure or something or anything? Did they tell you there was ghosts in that place? And he's like, well, it's a funeral home. He's like, yeah, but did they tell you? He's like, well, they didn't have to. He's like, but after I closed on the deal, I asked him, like, all right, is that place haunted? And they said, oh, yes, it is.
Is that a thing?
Oh, yes, it is.
Now,
also, I'll tell you a scary thing. We did drywall.
Mm-hmm.
And we put up drywall in one of the bedrooms because there was a big hole in the wall. Before we moved in, we put up drywall.
Yeah.
So we pulled off some drywall away. And just like a movie, I'm not lying to you, there was a colored, like a little sketch, colored picture of a little girl.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Okay,
like a stick figure, little girl with a son, you know. Obviously, somebody had stuck it on a wall at some point, but, yeah, creepy.
That's definitely creepy.
Like, if you would have seen it anywhere else, you wouldn't have said creepy. But in there, it's creepy.
I don't think I would have stayed. If I was hearing as much as this guy was hearing, and all this, I'll try and rationalize it, but eventually, door slamming when nobody's there, mm-mm.
Oh, that was the least of it. Like, that was, I heard more than that. The walking, against the wall, knocking on your door.
I've heard people tell that story where they lived in a haunted house and someone would knock on the door.
In my bedroom door.
Yeah.
And I go open it, there'd be nobody there. I'd be like, God damn it, then.
Yeah.
Now, one time I woke up and I was positive someone had hit me. It felt like I got hit in the side of the head. Yeah, I thought, we were having a drunken party or something.
Somebody
came in, was mad at me for something. Like, I got up ready to fight. There was nobody there.
Yeah, no thanks.
Now I was like, well, maybe I was just dreaming it. But that hasn't happened to me before or since. It felt like a punch.
I know.
And now it's crazy because the guy, the owner of the bar, told my buddy, yeah, we disclosed it and all these things. And he told my buddy, he's like, they heard a lot of noises, but what really freaked me out was that they got physical.
Yeah.
Right? And that was after I had told my buddy that I'm thinking something, a ghost punched me in the head. He said that it had grabbed someone's hair.
Yeah, no.
That's
like
what
it
he said.
Follows.
But
yeah,
it was
no,
before.
Thanks.
But so he said that, but he didn't know that I had said that I felt like I got punched.
Right.
But in my head, I'm still like, I probably just dreamt it. It's fine. Whatever.
No.
Oh, yeah. That happened.
I'm out. And I would be much more skeptical of your story if
it was also right down the street from an old motel called the St. Aubyn Hotel, I think. And that was like the site of a mass murder.
Like, of course it was.
Right. So you had this funeral home. Across the street was a giant church. And then homes that had all been burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the remains of the St. Aubyn Hotel.
Yeah, perfect.
That's where we were.
It's where they film scary movies now, literally. Where they film It Follows and stuff like that. Don't Breathe.
But it was really like as location, you could walk to the farmer's market.
Sure.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it sounds great.
More from the pulpit coming up. The Church of Laszlo.
Preach, brother.
On 98.9 The Rock.
Yo.
Yo. All right. This scam was a massive scam. I mean, it took a lot of people. The old two people can keep a secret if one of them is dead. That comes up a lot when we talk about these scams because can you get away with it? Who all knows about it? And this one, I'm shocked that people got away with it as long as they did because it involved so many people. They had to essentially recruit a lot of people to make this happen. But just a quick little bit of background, because I'm not a teacher, you're not a teacher. No. Been a long time since we had any school teachers. In the state of Texas, becoming a teacher is, it sounds like, not really an easy thing to do. You first have to get a bachelor's degree from, obviously, an accredited college, university, whatever. Then you have to complete an educator preparation program. And I'm assuming that this is similar in most states, but this story happened in Texas. Then you have to complete this educator preparation program. Once that is all said and done, then that person has to pass a certification exam and apply for a statement application. I knew you had to have a degree, and I figured that you had to have a degree that at least had some sort of emphasis on teaching, and
secondary education, elementary education. I thought that's what you got your degree in. Yeah. And then you had to, like,
do a teacher's certification test thing.
Oh, I thought you had to be a teacher's assistant for a little bit.
Oh, that too. It's almost like a residency.
Yeah.
My niece is going to teach, and she's going through the teacher, whatever, this sort of thing in Kansas. I don't know if it's the same, but I know that she had to take these different teacher preparation programs and exams. So there's a lot to it. Go get your degree. Go do the, complete this educator prep program. Then you have to pass the certification exam, and then you apply for the statement of application. Too much.
Yeah.
We need to pay teachers more.
Yeah.
This is all insane.
Well, make it easier to be one.
Make it easier to be one. Exactly. This process being difficult is supposed to be difficult because, they're teaching your kids, which that part makes sense to me, except that then you don't pay them.
Right, yeah, you have to pay.
Very much. So, if you say, this is such an important job that you have to go through all these tests and all this background, sure, great. But then also, wouldn't you get paid a little bit better than teachers tend to get paid? So, some people have a hard time completing this process. Some people apparently have a hard time with the actual exam itself.
Right, sure.
And they fail. So in Houston, Texas, there was an alleged teacher certification cheating ring that was discovered.
Like that.
And people were driving from all parts of the state, as far away, Dallas, Fort Worth, to different parts of the state, to go down and take their exams at this place because it was rigged. So in October 2024, cops announced that five people had been arrested in connection to $1 million teacher certification cheating scandal. The Harris County District Attorney's Office wasted no time releasing information about those arrested. You've got Vincent Grayson, 57, the alleged ringleader. He was the head boys basketball coach at Booker T. Washington High School in the Houston Independent School District, also known as HSD. The test proctor who facilitated this operation and supposedly made sure it remained undetected is 51-year-old Tawana Guilford Mason, the former director and certifying official at the Houston Training Education Center.
Okay.
It goes on and on. You've got someone named Will White, a proctor at the TACTIX certification business, which accepted bribes. So, also, as I read through this, in order to make this happen, they had to recruit, this article says, almost 100 teachers to participate in this massive plot. Everyone was getting bribed along the way. You're the person who hands out the test, you get bribed. You're the person who's grading the test, you get bribed. You're the person who hands out these. I don't understand why you couldn't go straight to the person. If you have to go through all this, and then at the end you have to apply for the certification, couldn't we just skip to the end where the person gives me the certification and I bribe them? But that must not be possible, or they would have thought of that, because they were bribing all kinds of people along the way. And they were even having other people go take the test. That, you know, 100 teachers or almost 100 teachers that I mentioned. My understanding is that those people they recruited were teachers that went to take these tests in place of people who couldn't pass these tests or paid to take the tests. Still different than cheating in high school.
And then the other people let them in.
Yeah, because
I've tried to figure out a way to have someone go take my real estate test for me.
Right.
And I've heard they're really strict about it. They take your ID, they look at it, so like there's no way to get around it.
I thought you were going to say that you've really tried to find a way for somebody to go take your kid's ACT test for
them.
No, this is for you. Okay.
Yeah. Because I don't want to do the classes and all that.
Yeah. No, it sounds like they had to basically bribe everyone along the way to make this possible.
This was used to certify more than 200 unqualified teachers.
People struggling to pass certification tests would pay Grayson or the others allegedly involved $2,500. Up to $500 of that was used to bribe officials at the testing center. Then on testing day, the candidate would sign in and show an ID as usual, but then leave, allowing assistant principal Nicholas Newton to take their place and ace that test.
So you got this person coming in to take the test for them. I guess that was Grayson, they said.
Okay.
You've got, so you want to get the certification, Lazo. I guess you walk in to the testing facility, you give them your ID, they write down your info, and then you just leave. And then our buddy Mike goes and takes the test for you.
That's what I wanted to happen.
I know. That's how this was sort of working here, it would seem. $2,500 that you'd pay to this guy, and then $500 of that, at least, went to bribing these officials. The article that I'm reading is from, it's actually from Distractify, of all places, but they said that they had to recruit up to almost 100 teachers, and I was assuming that that meant some of them were taking the test.
Yeah. Do they know all the teachers that cheated?
They know some of them.
Can they weed them out? How?
Yeah. So, I don't know how they know all of them, but they did say, and I don't know if this is because they got to wait to make sure that they got the right people or what, but they said that they're cooperating with the Texas Education Agency, the school district is, to try and figure out which teachers may have received these false certifications. But one of the things they said in this article was that perhaps the most upsetting information to come from all of this was the fact that two of the teachers who received illegal certification were alleged sexual predators.
Ugh.
So they managed to not only pass the test, but they're people with bad backgrounds?
Yeah, like, now that's got to be a different thing, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
The background check's got to be different.
I would think. So I'll ask you, and then we can wrap this up. But you're one of these teachers. You're the PE coach, whatever. Would you be a part of this? Would you take $2,500 to help people cheat to become teachers? The downside is you got some people who still went to college, from what I can tell.
Right.
Unless they're saying that they did.
Yeah, but now there's sexual predators.
Well, okay, let's just assume that that wasn't part of it. That may have just been coincidental.
I mean, how much are you going to... Again, it's risk versus reward, it always is.
$2,500
like, I don't have any moral compass, period. So... You know,
$2,000 per person that wants to pass. I'll give you $2,000.
And what do I got to go do? Take the test?
No. You've set this thing up, and you have bribed these people at the test, and we're going to pay them the $500 and do that. They're like this coach apparently.
Wait, how much
PE
am I getting?
Coach. Well, I was just saying 2,000 as a big number in case
so
he kept
getting,
all of it.
Somebody's giving me $2,000, and what do I got
to
do?
Because you have to go use some of your money, which is why I said 2,000, because they said 2,500 and that 500 went to bribe other officials. So you're keeping $2,000. They're giving 2,500. You take that 500, you go bribe these other people that you've already got going in your network. You've already explained what we're doing here. You go and pay them for each person. Hey, I got another guy. You're going to have to pass, you know, Slim Fast when you see him. That's who you're passing next. He's paid.
Oh.
And so for each person that wants to pass their exam, they give you $2,000. You get $2,000 per person who gets fake certified.
I still don't really know exactly what I'm doing in your theory, so I'm a little confused.
You've worked with all these other people, and you're greasing the wheels. You are going and taking some of the money I'm giving you to go bribe these other people. I'm a person who wants to take the test.
Oh, you want to take the test?
I want you to pass it for me. Yeah, so I'm giving you money.
Oh, so you're like, I'll give you $2,500 to me, and I say, I guarantee you'll pass the test.
I'll help you go pass
it. And I get $500 to a teacher to go take that test.
Yeah, you bribe people with some of that money.
And then I got to prime the person who's whatever that is the person does the test.
Yeah, you had to organize this thing, but it's already set up now. You know this is how
it
works.
I know all these people already. I know they're doing it.
Do you know all of them? I would assume that you can't really know all of them very well, but you probably know all of them now because you've talked to them about running this scam.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people to know this secret. And one of the craziest thing about all this, the reason they got caught is because some guy or gal who had taken this test at some point and got fake certified had a crisis of conscience a few years later as they went and tried to become a police officer in another town. And decided to, I guess, alert people to this ring that was going on in Houston.
And now, is he a cop, or did they not let him be a cop?
I don't know if he became a cop or not. They just said that's the person who exposed this, had a crisis of conscience.
But, I mean, you always got to worry about that.
Of course, and when you got this many people involved, yeah. But what's my, you know, I don't know how much I'm making as a teacher. It's going to be hard for me to turn down, even if I'm keeping $1,500. It's going to be hard for me to turn down $1,500 a person.
Yeah,
they profited that group of people. They said profited over a million since 2020. That's a good raise. That's a good raise.
Split between how many people? Probably
five people. I think they said.
So let's just say
at least. But it looked like
$200,000 a year.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take it. Yeah. You're in, right? You can sleep at night knowing that these people went to school.
I'm not sleeping at night. My thing is, like, if I get fired,
yeah.
Will I get caught?
Okay,
there's so many people that know
about this. Then let's just take the getting caught out of it completely.
Well, then of course.
Okay, you don't care.
My thought
the teachers
is every person that passes knows.
Yeah.
So like that ring of crime, the more I get paid, the bigger chance I have of getting caught, which is, you know, that kind of sucks. And there's not enough money to do it and then stop.
No, you can't say just one more score.
Right, so there may not be, I may not do it to start with.
It does seem like,
but it wouldn't be because
somewhat
of
low reward for how high the risk
exactly.
is. I can't believe they got away with it as long as they did.
Time for a smoke break.
Fire it up.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You've been to New York.
I have been.
We've been together.
We have been.
You've been to a lemon party.
We have been.
I've been to one with you.
Mm-hmm. You tried to pick up a 60-year-old Puerto Rican hooker.
You left me stranded in the middle of a pool of lemons. But that's neither here nor there because that is not what this story is about. In New York, probably the most common law to break is jaywalking. People have to do it all.
Don't block the box.
People do it all the time. They go against the light. They run when the light is red. They're on foot. There's a lot of foot traffic and there's a lot of regular traffic. And that regular traffic half the time ain't moving anyway. So even if the signal's red, you think just go. You got to get there. So people are constantly jaywalking, but that is against the law, at least for now. But it's not going to be anymore.
Oh, you can jaywalk whenever you want.
They have decriminalized jaywalking.
Oh, good.
It'll go into effect in February. Why would they do this? Because they're telling people it's still extremely dangerous to jaywalk. Do not jaywalk. Kids will get killed if you jaywalk. Don't do it. Don't do it. But in 2023, over 92% of jaywalking citations went to Black and Latino New Yorkers.
Why do they jaywalk so much?
Well, Lazo, I think it's possible that some people are implying that maybe the cops were a little biased with who they decided to write tickets to, who they decided to cite. So maybe they let the white person who's jaywalking go most of the time, and they're more likely to cite the Black or Latino New Yorker and write them the ticket. Some sort of a prejudice, if you will. Yeah.
Are all of the police officers in New York not black or Latino?
I believe many of them are.
Many of them are black or Latino?
As far as I know, I believe so. I've seen them on those cop shows.
Did they write tickets to black and Latino?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if you have to be one of those special
Latino
kind of...
Latino people and white people write them to black people?
I don't
go,
know.
Ha ha, look at that, black guy. And then white people and black people wrote them up for Latino people? Like, ha ha, look at that Latino guy. Is that what happened?
I don't know. I know that 92% of the...
real Benedict Arnold here?
92% of the citations went to black and Latino New Yorkers. That's what I know. So they say... You know what? This is ridiculous. People are getting in a lot of trouble, and this law...
They get a lot of trouble for jaywalking?
Well, it can cause problems. Apparently, there are criminal penalties that can... Right. Yeah. So I guess if you're... You know, I don't know how that works. You get, like, points on your feet, like you do on a driver's license?
I don't know.
You got to quit walking in New York?
Is it a misdemeanor? What is it?
Too many points
against
you?
Doesn't seem like a misdemeanor.
It's got to be a misdemeanor. It's not a felony.
No, I'm saying it doesn't even seem like it would rise to the case of misdemeanor, but I
guess. Well, anything that isn't a felony is just a misdemeanor, right?
It's not a civil infraction, I don't think.
Yeah. It's against the law. You're saying it is an actual crime to commit this. Well, then it's got to be a misdemeanor or a felony, and assume that it's a misdemeanor. But that doesn't mean that you can't be really annoyed with misdemeanors. Maybe you get too many. You got to go make an appearance in front of the judge. Maybe you got to pay fines, and you go, man.
I bet you do it is a fine. I'm sure it's expensive. If when you get stopped for jaywalking, then that gives me cause to search you.
Maybe, yeah, like the old stop and frisk. Only now it's jaywalking.
Right, why are you jaywalking?
Yeah, something like that. So. They proposed this legislation that would decriminalize jaywalking, say, if we can't get this enforced fairly, then we're just going to get rid of it, but we still don't want you to do it. It's still against the rules, right? It's just not a crime anymore. It's like when Vancouver, Canada, decriminalized marijuana. It was still against the rules somehow. But it was no longer a crime. You just get this, I don't even know what you got. I don't even know if you got a fake ticket because they had places where people smoke. I don't really understand decriminalization. You're saying it's not necessarily totally okay to do, but it's not a crime if you go against these rules. Because if you just get rid of a crime altogether, say, no, not only are you not going to get in trouble, but it's really not a crime, that would be decriminalization as well, right? That's... If you say, no, it's perfectly legal to do this thing now, well, that would also be decriminalization, I think. I'm just so used to hearing it when they say, when they're talking about weed or something, it's been decriminalized. Right. It's been decriminalized. But you know it's still against the rules.
Do you know where jaywalking started?
No.
Kansas.
Because Jayhawks?
Well, that I don't know. But I do know, like, it was the Jay driver. It was really about automobiles and horseless carriages.
I remember something about this on Adam Ruins Everything.
Being on the wrong side of the road. They were causing problems for people who had cars now. They're like, look, you jackass. I don't know, Jay. Right, I think Jay was like the route someone would take if you were walking. If you were jaywalking, it would look like a Jay.
Okay.
And so that's what it originally started as. Is like going across the street and then cutting across. And then... people being...
Oh, like it makes a J. Okay.
And people...
Instead of going straight across.
Horseless carriages and horse-driven carriages being on the wrong side of the road. Like, look, you people who can't afford cars, you need to get on the right side of the road and stay out of our way. And that's what it was.
Interesting. You wouldn't think something that has to do with the invention of the motor vehicle and pedestrians would start in Kansas.
Right, it was the automobile lobby.
You would think it would be something that, yes, and they do talk about that in that Adam Ruins Everything show on Netflix, because it used to be that cities were, the whole point was it's designed for people to walk in, and a lot of people, when cars were new, said, we're not going to, you need to get out of the way. You're running people over with your cars. You're killing people with these things. This is ridiculous. You shouldn't be driving on these roads. Like, they really didn't want cars driving on those roads. And the automobile industry, at least as I recall his explanation, the automobile lobby said, no, we'll do just the opposite. We'll make it illegal for you to walk when cars are supposed to be going.
Well, yeah.
And that's how.
And apparently, and I just looked it up to make sure, in 1912, the first instance of it was in Popular Mechanics. And they reported that the term jaywalker was current in Kansas City. The city pedestrian who cares not for traffic regulations at street corners but strays all over the street, crossing in the middle of the block or attempting to save time by choosing a diagonal route across the street intersection instead of adhering to regular crossing is designated as a jaywalker.
Okay, well, you know what's weird? They talk about how many people jaywalk in New York. People from big cities get really mad when they come to Kansas City and talk about how much people jaywalk here. They just walk right out into the road. Mm-hmm. If you live in a city, you got to know you can't cross until you get the walk sign, which we learned that. I mean, in Seattle, it was a big deal. People got really mad if you walked across the street when it wasn't your turn. In smaller cities, like in Kansas City, if you're at a crosswalk-type area, an intersection, people just kind of look both ways, and then they'll run against the light, and they just think, well, here the rule sort of is, and it's not the rule, but the idea that people have is that the pedestrian always has the right of way. And that is not the case in big cities. And so when they see people doing that, they're like, you guys are going to get killed.
A big and controversial legal change that will allow New Yorkers to jaywalk, you know, cross the street against the light or in the middle of the street. This despite the deadly risks.
Why? Because the overwhelming majority of jaywalking tickets apparently were given to minorities. So why didn't they just level the playing field to these tickets?
Well, how are you going to level the playing field, sir? You're just a news reporter. You make it sound real easy. You're not a cop. You don't know.
Sure.
So why not just get rid of it? And I like this. I like the idea of if we're having trouble with the law, we're having trouble enforcing it, let's just get rid of it.
If
we feel like drug laws are disproportionately targeting minorities, let's just get rid of them.
We should get rid of jaywalking anyway. It's stupid.
Get rid of it as a ticket?
Yeah, altogether.
But people will run into the street. So you're just going to say that
people
always have the right of way?
Running into the street because this law went away.
Well, I mean,
and I don't think they're going to be like, oh, look at that. And I think if you run in front of a car and you get hit by it, no, then that's your fault.
Okay, so it is your fault, though, still.
Oh, yeah. You can't jaywalk.
Okay, so you're saying get rid of the...
But there's not a ticket for it.
You
get hit by a car, you die.
I'm fine with that. Fine with that. No tickets.
No tickets, and if you jump into the intersection, you die.
Yep.
And then next year, we'll see if mostly black people and Hispanic people died.
Right.
From jaywalking. Then we'll know.
Then
we'll know if we got racist cops or not.
Well, yeah, this goes into effect in February or something. So when this goes into effect,
we'll have to look at those pedestrian deaths from automobiles hit by a car, and we'll be able to tell.
Because Lazo's convinced it's not a policing issue.
I'm not convinced, but I don't have any empirical data.
You think 92%
of the... I've never really
heard
of a racist cop before, so I don't, you know.
Well, especially not New York, right?
No,
I'm walking in, like, you know, it's a big, diverse city.
Right.
It's pretty ridiculous to think that they would be racist.
Yeah, it's not like the South.
Right. That's where you go if you want to be racist, not New York.
Mm-mm. It's like Boston.
98.9 The Rock, your home for the Church of Laszlo. The Church of Laszlo.
Are we done?
We are done, my man. That's it. Have fun tonight. At your sexy Halloween party.
Yeah. What are you doing
for Halloween? Take some pictures. I'm going to other sexy Halloween party.
What's the other one?
I can't tell you about it.
You can? Are you going to a swingers club? I know you're into that.
It's not a swingers club, but I'm going somewhere.
People swing, right?
People may have sex. Not, you know, necessarily there, although it's possible, but...
They have sex with people that aren't their boyfriends or girlfriends or husbands?
Yeah, well, that sort of thing happens every day.
I know, but at this house or party, does it happen a lot?
So I hope so. We'll see.
Who's your favorite swinger? Vince Vaughn?
John Favreau, if we're counting him. But if I'm going between the two of them, I'll go Vince Vaughn. That's not even really tough. You? I don't even know people who do swing
music. I mean, Ron Livingston's in it. I do like Ron Livingston.
He had that great line about, you know, the pain and you miss the pain. And I do like that.
But I'm going to go Ron Livingston. Good show. Stay positive, kids.
The Church of Laszlo. The Church of Laszlo. On 98.9 The Rock.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.